Tim Burton's 1989 movie version of Batman turned out to be the sixth biggest hit in movie history. Now Burton has made a sequel without Jack Nicholson's Joker, but with Danny DeVito playing the Penguin and Michelle Pfeiffer playing Catwoman. Film critic Stephen Schiff took a look at Batman Returns.
This is a terrific entertainment. Buoyant and witty, action-packed, sexy, beautifully directed. You'll even hear it's better than its predecessor, but there I have to disagree. For me, Tim Burton's first Batman movie got about as close as Hollywood could ever come to the brooding power of Wagnerian opera. It was dark, sure, but that was because it was about the big, dark, metaphysical issues. Its two antagonists, Batman and the Joker, had both narrowly escaped death, and that had made them feel like outcasts forever. Deep inside their antagonism, they knew they were in some ways brothers. The main characters in Batman Returns are also people who barely escape death, but the movie doesn't really care about that. Batman Returns is about the search for identity, and because none of the characters has one, not a clear one anyway, there's something blurry and muffled about it all. Danny DeVito's Penguin, for instance, was abandoned at birth because of his peculiar deformities. Now he's grown up into something resembling a giant white mango, with flippers for hands, a beaky nose, and a voice that sounds like Jimmy Durante in a terrible mood. But what does he want? Hard to say. To find his parents? Earn the love of Gotham City? Be elected mayor? Destroy his enemies? The movie at various times goes for all of these options, and that keeps Penguin's villainy from ever coming into focus. Besides, Burton and his screenwriters have provided a giant distraction. Selina Kyle, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, is the frumpy secretary to Christopher Walken's evil tycoon, Max Schreck. She knows too much about Schreck's nefarious schemes, so much, in fact, that Schreck feels compelled to push her out the umpteenth story of his skyscraper. Miraculously, she lives, and in a sequence that makes absolutely no sense but is compulsively watchable anyway, she turns into slinky, snarly Catwoman. And what is Catwoman after? Who knows? Sometimes she seems to want revenge on Schreck, sometimes she wants to save Gotham City, sometimes she wants to get rid of Batman so she can be the only superhero in town. Whatever her motives, it isn't long before she arranges a meeting with the Penguin himself.
We need to talk. You see, you and I have something in common.
Sounds familiar. Appetite for destruction? Contempt for the czars of fashion? Wait, don't tell me. Naked, sexual charisma.
Batman. The thorn in both our sides. The fly in our ointment.
Ointment? Scented or unscented?
I'll come back later.
Perchance are you a registered voter? I am a mayoral prospect, you know.
I have but one pet cause today. Ban the Bat.
As Batman, Michael Keaton spends most of the movie puckering his famous pucker and staring darkly into the Batcave's video screens. I missed the feeling of titanic inner struggle that he brought to the first Batman. But the movie's plot, such as it is, centers on the wicked mating dance that he and Catwoman perform. Two masked characters, ordinary by day, animal by night, nuts for each other. It's a juicy premise, and Burton and his actors squeeze every drop out of it, especially Pfeiffer, who makes Catwoman at once formidable and erotic and poignantly vulnerable. You could almost say she steals the film, only she doesn't quite. Beau Welch does. Who's he? He's the designer of the towering fascist deco sets that make the movie's real main character, Gotham City, come to life. In Batman Returns, Gotham City is the American urban jungle writ large. And as Penguin milks the media to get himself elected mayor, you can't help thinking of Ross Perot, a creature out of nowhere, promising vague salvation in a world that's coming apart at the seams. Batman Returns always seems to be coming apart too, but no matter. Burton's vision may be out of control, but nothing else on the screen this summer feels so intensely alive.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair.